welcome back. This is Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow, not in the Lake Wissota studio, but down at our, shall we say, our state capitol bureau for today. And we are joined by national correspondent for Courier Newsroom, Kiva Keel, but because of where he is, I'm going to say our special Los Angeles-based correspondent, Kiva Keel, with a report from Dodger Stadium, where the Brewers last night were playing the Dodgers, because it's Dodger Stadium. Why wouldn't you do that? Kia, I'm sure you were right there in the dugout watching the slaughter. What can you tell me from the front lines right there in the infield dirt of Dodger Stadium?
Oh, man. Well, I guess I'm outing myself as not a great sports correspondent because I have no idea who won that game.
You didn't go. Here's the thing. The baseball nerd that I am, I would love to go to any stadium that I could whenever I get a chance to. So I've been to Fenway and Wrigley and some of these others, and I think Dodger Stadium would be fun. So I'm not gonna fault you for not going last night. It's the Brewers. You're more of a Phillies or what?
I am more of a Phillies fan.
But you've been to Dodger Stadium.
Oh yeah, many times.
Okay. What is it a good baseball / tourist experience, or is it? It doesn't strike me as like one of those cookie cutter baseball parks.
No, it's definitely not. It's a beautiful place, and it helps that the team has been really good for most of the past decade. But it's a great place to go watch a game. It has a great view of the skyline in LA, depending on where you're sitting, actually. Yeah, it's one of my favorite ballparks. I've been to about half of them throughout the country, and it's in my top three. The only thing that's bad is getting out of the parking lot is a nightmare.
I can only imagine. You've been to half. That's great. Lucky you, man. Well,
I've done a couple of baseball road trips with friends.
I've talked about that for forever, to do a baseball road trip, and that's. When you marry somebody that's not as much of a baseball fan, that's about as likely as my actually playing for one of these teams when we do it. You said Dodger Stadium was your top three. What were a couple of other favorites?
Yeah, so I'd go Dodgers, Camden Yards in Baltimore, and then probably Petco in San Diego. Honestly,
I've been to Petco. I loved it. It's a great place. And I've mentioned before that I was at a game. Trevor Hoffman since came to the Brewers after that, but when he was at his peak with the Padres, I went to a game one night, and boy, when he comes into Hell's Bells out of the bullpen, the crowd is, literally going wild. It just gives you chills. You picked some good ones there. Where haven't you gone that you'd like to?
Oh, where haven't I gone that I'd like to? That's a great question. I just went to Wrigley a couple months ago, so that would have been the top of the list. But I've never been to Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. I'd like to go there at some point. Never been to Seattle Stadium. I don't remember the name at this point. I know it just changed, I think, from Safeco. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a Blue Jays game, and I don't really want to go to Rogers. Is that what it's called?
Rogers
now?
Really, yeah.
Care about that dome, but it'd be cool to go see a game in Canada. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've been to, and Luke notes that it's T-Mobile now out in Seattle. I've been to Montreal, and I've taken their version of the subway past, where the Expos were playing at the time. And I felt nothing but pity. I didn't get to go to a game there, but I wasn't looking to. And the only thing I think that would have been worse is the experience that I actually did have at Tropicana Field, watching the Tampa Rays, which, as I've said, that building needs to be imploded with the architects inside of it. Whoever said baseball in a tin can was a good idea.
Yeah, I've never been to the Trop. I don't imagine I'll ever go. I've seen games on TV, obviously, and it looks like a hellish place to play.
It does. Again, it's like in a pinball machine. The last time the Brewers were there, like three different times they had to consult the ground rules, because if it hits one catwalk, it's a home run. If it hits another catwalk, it's a foul ball. It's just ridiculous. But this is not what we bring the national correspondent for Courier Newsroom on to talk about. But once you hear he's been to half the ballparks, how do you not? But Kia was at Netroots Nation, a very large gathering of progressive organizers and others, which was in Pittsburgh. So not too far from some of your favorite stomping grounds. Although is that, can I say that to a Philly person, that you were at Pittsburgh and you were closer to home, put it that way?
I was closer to home, and I did not make it to PNC Park, but I was, you know, very close to it, which is probably my fourth favorite park.
It does look nice. Yeah, I always do appreciate that. So let's start in, and you know, for those of us that caught my interview with Carolyn Fiddler from there as well, we were talking about the kind of the overall tone and how it's different now because of the Dobbs decision. What would have previously probably been a convention of people going, well, the odds are against us. It's the midterms, and you can't fight, you know, the trends of history, et cetera, et cetera. It didn't really feel that way now, did it, Kia?
No, there was definitely a sense of urgency and motivation there on the ground. This was my first Netroots, so I can't compare it to any of the ones pre-pandemic. But, you know, people really, really, you know, they're fighting. They're motivated. These are like the most involved progressive activists, lawmakers, media figures. So they know, but you know, even folks you'd see who are maybe newer to the movement are, you know, they know what's on the line. There's freedom is on the line in November. You know, fascism is not far away from happening. And you know, we were talking about it afterwards, but there was a definite theme to the conference where, you know, the three sort of leading, let's say, arenas of issues that were foremost in panels and in conversations were abortion rights, labor movement, and misinformation. And so, yeah, it's post-Dobbs, there was definitely, you know, a lot of strategy and just talk about how this November is really crucial.
The messaging around abortion has changed so much since the Dobbs decision that repealed Roe v. Wade, because it's no longer theoretical. And there are countless Democratic campaigns that worked so hard not to touch what had been considered a third rail. But then mm-hmm. somebody came and, you know, used the metaphor you want, took the rail away or supercharged it, whatever the case may be. And now I would think the debate in many progressive circles is how few races there are now where that would still be your position. I mean, we just found out in that New York race that Pat Ryan won. You take that message, you make it about rights and freedoms, and you run with it. Or are there still, was the talk there that there are still corners and places where it's still too soon, it's still not right? I can't imagine there would be.
No, that definitely did not come up. There's a sense, and I should note, this is, you know, the people who are mostly in Netroots are not, you know, the Joe Manchins of the world.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, Pat Ryan is in a rural swing district in New York. Like, that is a seat that he had no business really winning, and he won. And so, yeah, I think, no, there's definitely no talk of, you know, moderating and not talking about abortion. I think that ship has sailed. And, you know, there is a handful of frontline Democrats who aren't really focusing on it in their races. You know, you have Jared Golden in Maine and a few others throughout the country, but they're in the minority. And I will see if that's a smart strategy or not. They know their districts best, arguably, but I think that special in New York, the other special elections, just the general, if you look at the polling, if you survey voters on what they think about abortion, if you look at the backlash in terms of new voter registrants are predominantly women, predominantly registering as Democrats, there's no doubt that if the landscape of abortion rights has changed. And I'm of the belief that, you know, lawmakers should have been more proactive and talked about it, you know, for years. But you can't argue that once a lot of times things don't click into place until you've lost something. And so obviously when, like you said, it's no longer hypothetical, it becomes real, you know, the urgency ramps up. And it is, so I think it is unquestionable that, you know, abortion bans are widely unpopular. And so we're seeing Democrats talk about that very openly and very bluntly about what's happening. And I think that's both good for them politically, but also is just true. And, so, yeah, there was definitely no tiptoeing around it in Pittsburgh.
No, because the ground has shifted so much. The plates have shifted so much in a couple of different ways. One is about abortion rights, and the other is about democracy. And previously, the words that would have been thrown out on those are, it's all hypothetical and it's all hyperbolic. And you really can toss those out now, because in both cases, there have been such fundamental shifts where you say, oh, nobody would ever really overturn Roe v. Wade, and nobody ever would be against, you know, American democracy and try to overturn an election. And yet here we are. So my question is, now that these things are real, now that these conversations are being had and they are more direct, does that mean that Democrats and progressives can actually overplay that hand and somehow it comes back against them? Or is this such a swing year, such a pendulum changing year, that this is going to be, these two topics amongst others are going to be so front and center?
That's a good question. You know, I said a minute ago that I think for a long time, a lot of Democrats tiptoed around the issue of abortion. And I think there's critiques of that. I think one of the upsides of that is, because if you've approached this issue with sort of kid gloves for years, there's a lot of downsides to that. But when something like Dobbs happens, then, and we see this newer, more honest, blunt rhetoric, it's new. And so it doesn't feel like the same talking point or, you know, rhetoric that's been used for a decade. So people, I feel like, are responding to it because it's new and it's a different version of it. And so my personal opinion is, I don't know that there's a huge risk to overplaying it, because it's real, it's happening. You can't really argue it. And I'm sorry, my cat's going crazy in the background. And as for, you know, the democracy angle, like, again, it's real. They are trying to take over, you know, precinct positions and install, you know, every day there's a new horror story about the, you know, Trump MAGA movement's effort to overtake elections and just attack democracy. And that's real. That is not something, you know, there's been a long history of, you know, movements in this country to rein in voting rights and not allow some people the franchise over the course of American history. But, you know, in modern history, this is new. And so I don't think it's an exaggeration to say, you know, what they're doing is bordering on fascism. And so I think you have to be honest about that. January 6th happened. You know, people were warning that, oh, he'll cause a fuss and then he'll leave quietly. And anyone who paid attention for 4 years knew that wasn't going to happen. And so for people who are naysayers, I think just look at what's happening. Like, it's real.
I think as well, talking about the threats to democracy in that same vein is the misinformation that we've talked about previously and that you mentioned was being talked about at Netroots. So we're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. Once we take care of any concerns we have about your safety, because I really thought somebody was getting set to throw books at you. And I know the cat has no opposable thumb, but I was getting genuinely concerned. But
no, he is just, he's going crazy. I'm going to put him in the other room once we get a break, because it's the moment we start. He has been calm all morning.
And oh, sure. Moment we started, oh, please. It's, you know, I know. Parents, grandparents, all of us pet owners, we know. Kiev Akil joins us and more after the break. You're up, North.